Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, not only will you open the door to new understandings, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. We are one, and when we are in that place, we will see where we can find common ground so that we can relate rather than compare ourselves to others. Now today, it's my pleasure to welcome back Leo Bonomo. Leo is going to do a couple of readings at the end of the show, but the thrust of the show today is very exciting. He has a book coming out, and in tandem with the book, there are going to be some MP3s played of spirit speaking from the afterlife. And I'm going to ask Leo to explain how that works. He was telling me about it before the show, and it's absolutely fascinating. So let me welcome Leo. Leo, how are you today?
Hi, I'm very well, David. Thank you very, very much. Very excited about this book and the opportunity to come and talk about it on the show.
Oh, well, I'm glad to do that for you. You've been kind enough to do that for me before, and I appreciate that. But, yes, please tell us about the book. And first of all, excuse me, Leo, I forgot to read your bio. Let me do that now. Okay. Yeah. This is how Leo tells his story. It's going to be in the first person. So this is Leo talking. From the age of 2, I saw my first spirit. I didn't find that strange, even though he rose out of the ground horizontally and tilted upright. My parents found me looking, and I said there was a funny man behind us. In fact, the only thing I found strange were his clothes, Victorian top hat and all. I have been blessed with so many experiences, some on the darker side, but all, pardon the pun, enlightening. I have been professional since 2005 and trained for 8 years at the Spiritualistic Association of Great Britain. I don't believe that mediums should ask questions. If a medium has a question, it should be directed to the person and spirit because they have the answers. I am privileged to have written through automatic writing a book called Summerland, Poems, a book of thoughts and messages directly through spirit. You can find these on Amazon. I am blessed with clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairessence, clairolfacrience, and clairsentience. It's a real privilege to be able to work with spirit and to do something spiritually rewarding for a living. So that's what Leo has to say. And let me give you his website. For those of you who are fortunate enough to talk to him today, you're just going to get a snippet of a reading, and I encourage anybody that's listening, whether they're live or listening to the podcast, to consider doing a reading with Leo. He's very reasonable, and he's spot on. At least he has been with me, and that's been my experience with the calls that he's taken on my show. So let me give you his web address. It's on the World Wide Web. It is leo-bonomo.com. Let me spell his name for you. B like banana, O, N like Nancy, O, M like Mary, O. leo-bonomo.com. So back to Leo.
Hi.
You have this book coming out. And it's so exciting because you've been talking about it for a long time. And for those that are listening today that may not know anything about it, whether or not they've been on the show before, I'm sure they'd be thrilled to hear what it's about.
Yeah, it's a phenomenon called direct voice mediumship. Now, I'm not a direct voice medium, but the greatest direct voice medium in the world was a gentleman called Leslie Flint. So the book is based around his transcripts. There's lots of other stuff in there as well. So you have transcripts of the seances. And seance is not a word I really like. It's very kind of Victorian sounding and, you know, is anybody there kind of thing. But it's transcripts of the seances. So spirit come and speak. Now, the great majority of the public are not aware of this type of mediumship. Leslie Flint passed over himself in 1994. But his great gift was that he had an excess of ectoplasm and he developed direct voice when he was a young boy. And he was doing readings since the late 50s or doing seances. And what it involves is ectoplasm is taken by spirit from the body. And they form it into a substance. And for direct voice, what they do is that they create a replica human voice box. And the technical bit behind this is they've got the voice box and it's attached to kind of a mask. So in spirit, press their faces into the mask. To them, it feels like they're suffocating. It's quite claustrophobic. But they then think their thoughts and impress their thoughts on the mask, and it's translated into sound. So you can't see the voice box, but when you're there, and I was privileged to have sat with Leslie, the voices appear 6 or 7 inches below the ceiling, and it's real human beings speaking in their own voices. And speaking intelligently and clearly, sometimes very loudly. It's almost like it's been amplified. And they talk about all different subjects, but mostly they talk about their passings, their lives previous to passing, and their lives in spirit, where they have found themselves. So it's their real experiences of what we would call heaven or summerland. I've been blessed to get some great reviews from some of the greats in mediumship, like Robin Foy and Stuart Alexander, who's a physical medium as well. And Robin Foy said, the best way for anybody to learn the truth about life after death is for them to converse at length with those spirit people who have themselves enjoyed an earth life before passing into the spirit world after so-called death. And, you know, we have lots of people that have near-death experiences and they talk about it and it's wonderful and they talk about the transformation in them and what they find. There is an obvious limit to that. They come back. Whereas these spirits, some of them in the book have been there many hundreds of years. And so they speak in the language of the day, but all have wonderful, wonderful stories to tell. So it's quite amazing.
It sounds it. And for those that are fortunate enough to be listening to the show today or whenever you listen to it, we're actually going to have a couple of these sessions played for you, and we'll be doing that in just a little bit. Is there anything else you would like to say about that or about your book before we go to listen?
Yeah, I'm sure people will find the book fascinating, not just because you have the words, the transcript to read, which place it in context, but that also allows you to concentrate on the voices. And it gives a context to the voice, because sometimes the accents are quite different and challenging. There are 24 recordings that can be downloaded with the book. Some of those are bonus recordings, but there's 21 recordings of people speaking. Amongst them, Queen Victoria and her medium, John Brown. There's a whole list of people. And if you want to listen to some quick snippets of it, you can also go to my site, as David kindly said, www.leo-bonomo.com, and follow the links. You will need to pre-order. So if you go to the site, you can get put on the pre-order list, and then as soon as the book comes out on pre-order on Amazon, I can let you have a special deal. So there'll be 15% discount, and you'll get the books signed directly from me and sent out to you. So those are two other bonuses. So thank you very much, David, for that.
Oh, you're welcome. So the book is coming out in September, correct?
Yes, it is, yes.
And Leo is going to be back on the show October 1st to talk a little bit more about it. And so that's another opportunity for people to call in. And he does do readings whenever he's on the show. But today, of course, we're not going to be concentrating on that. Let me go to the recordings and play a couple of them. Is that all right, Leo?
Yes, that's wonderful. Thank you. I think this first one is a young lady from the Deep South called Bessie. And her surprise, you can hear her surprise when she passes over that she doesn't have wings, because, again, you know, people have this image of we get to heaven, we've got wings and a harp and clouds and things. It's not exactly as it's been portrayed. So it's actually in some senses very normal. But you'll hear her surprise in talking about herself and where she finds herself and some of her life.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Bear with me for a minute, folks, while I get ready to play the file.
But hello, friend. We're all great. We're very pleased you've come through.
I've been here before.
You've been here before, have you?
No.
You haven't? No.
I haven't been here before.
You haven't? Oh, you're American, aren't you?
How are you, Master?
Very well, thank you. Yeah. Can you give us a talk, friend? You lived in America, did you?
Long time ago now.
Yeah. It's very nice you come through.
My name's Bessie.
Bessie.
Yeah.
Oh, oh yes.
Bessie, can you tell us something about your life and, you know, how you...
I've been to many times in America, yes. But not here.
Oh, yes.
I heard bad places like London, Paris and all that, you know.
Yes.
Since I came here, yes. I speak to many people.
Yes.
And they talk to me about these various places, you know. And I decide I go and then look for myself.
And you've seen them?
Sure
have. Surprised you haven't, Bessie?
I wouldn't want even your words.
You would after your experience.
I had hard life.
Yes.
But there's no regrets now.
What are you doing that side now?
I was teaching the wee ones.
Oh, yes.
Many children come here.
Yes.
I have school.
Have you got your own school?
Yeah, I should have.
That's nice.
And I wouldn't come back not to... be in your way, but everything I own.
No. Bessie, what did you think of when you first passed over? I mean, how did you...
I was right glad to get it right there, body of mine. I sure was. Gee, I sure was. I was really glad to get it right body of mine and get free. It's a wonderful feeling to be free.
It must be.
Bessie, how did you find yourself? In what sort of...
I found myself free for the first time in my life.
But what were you actually in? Were you in the cotton fields?
Yeah, I sure was in cotton fields. I was there for 45 years.
Oh, yeah.
My mama and my papa... they were slaves, too. Mm-hmm. I was born up in slavery.
Oh, I bet.
But, Bessie, when you...
They didn't run too bad, that place.
Mm-hmm.
They were pretty kind. Not so bad as some places I heard about, you know.
Yeah.
Master and Mrs. weren't so bad to us. We had our own little place, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There were many of us there.
But, Bessie, when you got over, who made...
We had a good bed. Not too bad to eat, you know.
No.
What was that you just said to me?
When you passed over, Bessie, when you died, who met you? I mean, what...
my mama and my papi.
Yes.
And brothers and sisters. And other people when I didn't know, you know.
Yes. And what did you do when you got
out? I was so surprised I had not got wings. I sure did. When I realized where I was, I fell behind my back, and I hadn't got no wings at all, you know, and I didn't know what to think, and I could see all them air people all around me, and no one had wings, and I thought, well, am I in heaven, because no one's got no wings here, but I realized later that they don't have wings. But I was always taught, you know, that when you went to heaven, you had great big wings, and the better you was, the bigger your wings was.
Oh, yes.
I expected I'd have little tiny wings, but I didn't have none.
Yes.
At first, I was real worried about that. I thought I must be in the bad place, you know. But I found out that I was all right. You know, you two people, I heard that you... from people on this side, they told me about you, and that's why I came here.
Thank you.
I believe you do a lot of work on your side, helping people understand more and more about these here truths, huh?
Yes.
That sure is good, that is. I'm very glad for you, because you do good work among a lot of people, huh?
Well,
I heard all about you, Master.
You have?
Yeah, I guess I have. Your name's well known over here, boy.
Well, it's
all right. You got nothing to worry about. You're not a bad man. You're a very good man in your way, you know. You try to tell people all about this.
Yes.
and that's very good.
Bessie, how are you living on the other side?
I live right real fine. I do. And I wish you could see my dress. It's a real nice dress I have on, especially to come here and talk to you people.
Oh,
it's pretty, you can't see as well as he is.
Well, can't you explain it?
Sure. I got a very pretty blue dress, and it's way down to my feet, you know,
yeah.
Real nice. And it's beautifully made, you know. And I makes it myself.
Oh,
and I've got a beautiful headdress, too. And I've got a star right in the middle I have, you know. And I earned that star. I didn't make it. It was made for me. I earned it. And I was right proud of it. I really am.
What kind of house have you got?
I got a wee place here. I suppose you'd not call it a mansion. It's certainly not a big place, but it's real dandy. You know, it's a real pretty place I have. It's a very small place, but it just suits me. And I'm here with my mother and my papa and my brothers and my sisters.
Oh, jolly nice.
It's big enough for us, though.
I don't mind meet you when I come over there.
Sure, I will be pleased to meet you, Master, when you come. And I don't think that's going to be so long either.
Yeah. Well,
well, you must be getting on now for well over 70.
Oh, yes,
and
am.
You don't live forever, you know.
No.
Thank God for that.
Yes.
Praise be the Lord.
What's your world like in color?
Oh, it's very much like it was down south.
It was.
I've got beautiful house, beautiful place, nice scenery, lovely trees and fields, and beautiful animals, and all sorts of pets. I've got a real good puss.
Have you?
Surely she is the best puss you ever did see in your whole life. She is a big puss. She's almost as big as a lion.
She's
got the most beautiful face. I was always mad about cats, you know.
Yeah.
And I have cats when I was on your side, and it had many kittens. And I guess this cat's the best cat you ever did see. She's a beauty. I tell you that, boy. I calls her Matilda. That's what I calls her. I calls her Matilda because she's a beautiful girl, and she was a big cat when she was on your side, but she's 3-4 times as big over here. I guess it's my love makes her that big, you know.
What color is she?
Oh, she's a, what you call her now? A stripped cat, you know.
Oh,
I
don't know how she call it in your country, but she's got stripes all over.
Oh, she's tabby.
You form a cat?
Oh, I like
her. Can you talk to her?
Sure, I can talk to her. She talks to me, too. But she don't talk with her mouth.
No.
She talks with her mind.
Yeah.
And I knows what that girl thinks.
Yeah.
We's inseparables, we is.
I love any animals.
Sure, you must love animals.
You do.
I love them.
If you don't love animals, there's something radically wrong with you. And you never go to heaven if you don't like God's creature.
Have you any birds over there?
Sure, birds, but the birds are not offended by the cats.
No.
You gonna need birds?
Yes.
Well, not our own, not a pet. We don't like cage birds. We've got wild birds.
No, I don't think that's right. You know, they used to have birds, but in cages.
No,
they're wild, but we feed them every day.
Yeah, my hair's straight. Am I glad about that? You know, when I used to see Mrs. and other friends, you know, or the white people, and their hair was so nice and straight, and I used to say, gee, golly me, I wish I had nice straight hair. My hair was all frizzed up. No, now I got straight hair. I guess that's real something, isn't it? Yeah, I always wish my hair was straight like Missy, you know. It was all fuzzed up now. Oh, gee, I don't know, but I always wished I'd had got beautiful straight hair. Now my hair's as straight as anything.
No.
I was real happy about that.
No,
I guess if you wait long enough, you get most things if you deserve it.
Oh, yeah.
That's why when you come here, I think you'll be real happy, Master. You'll have all the things you want.
Well, I should be very happy if I can...
I don't think you've got much later weight now.
Okay, that was Bessie. Leo, how did the audio come through?
I can hear it really, really well.
Oh, good.
So,
good. So
I'm sure that others came.
Yes. Okay. That's wonderful. Excuse me. Well, why don't we take a moment to do a reading, and then we can come back and listen to Mickey, and if you have any other thoughts, or are there any thoughts you'd like to share about what we just heard?
Yes. The sound does vary a little bit, and the accent does wander, but Bessie was one of those that was a fairly early recording. The one we're going to hear afterwards is actually Mickey, who's Leslie Flint's guide. And I'll speak a little bit more about him. He was a young boy when he passed. He was killed in Camden, and he was born in Bethnal Green. So a real Londoner and a London accent from that time. But Bessie talks about her surprise at finding herself where she was. And it's one of those myths of religion, isn't it? You know, that we find ourselves in heaven, you know, right hand of the Father and that kind of thing. And, you know, and it just shows how those mindsets sort of pervade. And what she found actually was extremely normal. But no wings. So the fallacies and the myths that we learn don't really apply there. But it's a wonderful opening of the eyes when we get there, because there's so many fantastic things, but it's not quite as perhaps the Bible or other religions portray it.
Mm-hmm. Well, this life isn't either.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that. I've only talked with two of the callers, and we'll see how much time there is, but I'm going to go to those two callers first, since they called in at the beginning, and then if there's time, I will call out area codes and bring others on the line. This first caller's name is Deep. And I'm bringing you live. There you are.
Hi, Deep. How are you?
Thank you, David. Good evening, Leo. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, bless you. I do recognize the name, so I do think I've spoken to you before. I never remember readings, so I do think we've spoken before. I'm just going to take a second, Deep, and try and get a link with you.
Sure. Yes, we have spoken a couple of years back.
Ah, bless you. Bless you. There's a gentleman that's building up with you, obviously from the same background. The hair is kind of slightly wavy. It's not straight, really. There is a parting on the right. And this gentleman's quite slim. Now, he says that since we last spoke a couple of years ago, this gentleman has passed over. We can lose track of time when we're there. He's indicating that he passed away about 6 months ago. I do actually feel it's a bit longer. It may be closer to a year. He's written cousin for me. So would you understand a gentleman that's quite tall, that passed over between, fantastic. I'm just going to have a quick listen to what he's got to say. Okay, so since we've last spoke, he says there are quite a few things that have fallen into place for you. He says you have turned yourself around and got yourself in the right direction, and he's added finally to that. So would that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Fantastic. Now, he says that there are more achievements for you. He's actually shown me a staircase, and he's treading steps two at a time, so there's quite a fast advancement there. He's relating this not just to life and moving onwards and upwards in life as a generality, but he's talking about work in the same breath. Would you understand having advanced in work?
Yes, I do.
Fantastic. And he says there is more for you to do. He says that you... Normally, the higher up we get, the more pressure there is, and sometimes the pressure can be unbearable. But he says you've advanced. You were quite wary of not wanting to get into a position where there's too much pressure. Would that make sense, too?
Yes.
Okay, so he is aware of that. So what he's saying is there is still more advancements for you, but the pressure isn't going to be what you think. You seem to have changed quite radically in the last few years as to how you handle work and pressure. He says you were the type of person, there's an old saying, isn't there, Deep, that if you if you work hard, you tend to have to work harder. But there's a way of working smarter. And he says you didn't like to delegate to people. You'd rather get the job done yourself. But you have a different view now and you delegate very well. Would that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Fantastic. So you can achieve more. So he knows there's been that change of attitude for you. And he says it was worth the wait for that change, and you are going to achieve more than you believe possible. I know you've got some questions because he's mentioned it. Have you got a question for me or for him?
Yes, I do. How do you see the situation with my son turning around in terms of me being more part of his life and sharing him along with his mom? Because there's some challenges around there.
There are. This gentleman's... Oh, sorry, Deep, say that again.
I was just saying I have not seen him for more than a month, and I don't want to go through the court process. He lives with his mom.
Okay. Now, I know that your son is growing up very quickly. Partly it's the situation and him adapting, and children are very adaptable. This gentleman says that to wait a little longer. Now, would you understand him saying that you tend to contact his mum when you need to see him? And that's I suppose, you know, it's nice to say we're making an arrangement, but it seems to be quite limited to that. Would that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
And this gentleman says you need really to keep up a rapport with his mum. It is just civility, but he says you do need to do that. But things will become easier for you. He describes her as a troubled woman. Would that make sense to you as well?
Yes, it does.
So there's a lot on her mind, and he says you can ease that by talking a little more, just being polite. Your son has asked about you. I'm not quite sure why there's been a gap, but there's obviously a lot that both yourself and your ex-wife is struggling with, but your son's actually doing very well. So this gentleman's advice is wait a little bit longer and then make contact, but try and make that contact with the mum a little more frequent. She's really feeling out of the loop. I don't feel she's faring as well as you are, and so there's a lot for her to contend with. But he says it will be okay.
Right. So will I have contact with him without going through the legal process?
You will. It's more really having more contact with her, a little more contact with her. She has lapsed. This month particularly, because there are pressures on her. So it's a little more contact with her Your son is actually fine. He is missing you, of course, but he is fine. Is that okay for you, Deep?
Yes, thank you, Leo. I will let you go because there are other callers as well.
There are. And take this man's great love and mine, and I know that things will work out, but I'll say prayers for you. God bless you.
Thank you. Much appreciated. Thank you, David.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in, Deep. God bless. All right. Let us go to the next recording that you provided, Leo. Is there any introduction? Oh, you've already told us about Mickey, so I'm just going to go right to it and play it. And bear with me just a moment. It's coming up here.
This seance was recorded on the 8th of December, 1973, medium resident.
Hello,
Mickey. Hello,
Mickey.
Hello,
Mickey. How are you? Yeah. We can hear you, Mickey.
There's two Howards here right now.
That's right, Mickey.
There's a Mr. Howard and, he's Howard. And now there's a Christian Howard.
That's right. And
a Christian.
Well, it's his Christian name. The other man's name is Howard, but it's his surname, ain't it?
That's right, Mickey.
And Janet.
Hello, Mickey.
How are you, Jane?
Fine, I think.
And Shirley.
Hello, Mickey.
How are you, Temple?
Oh, how are you, Temple?
I think she was named after Shirley Temple.
I was, actually. You're quite right.
I know you was. Your mum thought she was sweet.
That's right.
So she named you after that bus driver bloke. How are you, mate?
I'm fine, thank you, mate.
You're not windy, are you?
Windy? How's your name?
No, Mum.
Who else is here, mate?
I ain't going away.
How
are you?
All right.
Thank you. Marge, you're dying. Yes. Oh, you're sorted out now, ain't you?
Well,
thank goodness.
Yes.
How is Daphne?
I'm all right, thank you.
How's your knee, Daph?
My knee?
Well, you had trouble with your leg, didn't you, Daphne?
Oh, yeah. You made fun of it, didn't you?
Well, in a nice way.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I thought Viviana's here.
Hello,
how are you, Viviana?
I'm fine now.
And that's your mate, ain't it?
Yeah, that's a mate of mine.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Are you windy? Not windy, are you, love?
Not
a bit. I haven't left no one out, have I?
Yes.
Well, not you, I don't mean.
Oh!
Well, you're here. Damn it. Oh, I'll see what I can do.
I'm part of the
furniture
city. What about Jim?
Oh, well.
What's for, Maggie? Mickey,
you're okay, sure, Jimmy Ellis.
Did I break the circle yesterday? I'm sorry if I did.
No, of course you didn't.
I didn't.
What makes you think you broke the circle?
Well, I got up as you just spoke, and you stopped right then.
Don't worry me, mate.
Very subdued Mickey this morning.
That new lady, Gerda, is that your name?
That's right.
Would you know a young fellow that would come to you who died rather tragically not so long ago, a few weeks or months ago?
Yes.
Do you know his wife?
Yes.
I didn't even know him.
But you know nothing about his missus?
I don't know really anything about her.
Oh, bless me. Why am I?
Except I think she's American.
What difference does that make?
I don't know about it.
Sit still. Uh-huh. Papa, could you? You tell your beads?
No.
Well, what's all this about beads? Have you got some sort of necklace thing?
Yes.
That there's a special significancy about it?
Yes, I have.
And, well, I don't understand this. Someone's laughing and says she doesn't use the beads anymore.
Oh. Well, these are sort of Zen Buddhist beads, but right. They're just hanging up in my room. I don't
well, know. It's very interesting to me. There's a bloke man here, and he says she's got some very special beads, and they're special beads, and you sort of play around with them and concentrate, or at least they help you to relax.
That's what they're supposed to
and
be.
And why don't
for,
you
yes.
do it then? Because it'd be a good thing. They want you to get these beads and make use of them, not just hang them up.
I see, yes.
Because there's a lot of power in those beads, and they will help you.
Oh, thank you.
Were they given specially to you by somebody?
No, I bought them.
Well, there's a great power with those beads, and they're from the person to whom they belong.
Oh.
Those beads, now I'm not going to say they're miracles, but the point is that those beads, if you were to handle those beads, especially when you're in need or in trouble,
yes.
They would bring to you a great, not only a great peace, but they would bring to you things that are good for you. In other words, I'm not saying that they're like Aladdin's lamp, but the point is that if you had something very much on your mind that was necessary or what you wanted, that if it was good for you to have it, that is, it would help you. There's something about the power of those beads of which you know nothing.
Oh.
You know somebody connected with you committed suicide?
Yes. Not directly connected.
Well, not directly, but you are sort of connected up with this individual, and this person couldn't face life any longer, and it was all a great tragedy. It seems as if they got to the point where they just couldn't go on anymore.
Yes, probably that's right.
You're an extremely psychic person yourself. I don't know why you don't realise this more.
Well, I don't have any needs in that direction. I think that's
fine. No, you may not have any needs, but you might be a great benefit and blessing to other people. And you have a great, what you call, an intuitive, sort of thing about yourself inside, right? And you do get things, very strong things. And you can help people by talking to people, and you're impressed what to say, often.
Well, I do quite
a lot of
that.
I know you do. But you don't call it psychic, but you are, mate. You're damn sight more psychic than some of them mediums go on the platform, mate. You've got it there, mate. And you've got a very great inner realisation. And it's as if you've got the third eye, as they tell me. And those beads belong to someone over here who was a very powerful medium. And a great understanding that person had of spiritual values.
Could you describe the beads for me a little better, do you think? Because there are several sort of in my house. I think it's from that I...
Well, they're coloured.
They're coloured, are they?
But they're not all one colour.
Oh, they must be not quite the ones I thought of. Those are wooden ones. They're just all
these are painted.
Oh,
Okay, well, that's all we have from Mickey. Now, let me ask you a question, Leo. You had talked about how a voice box is formed because the quality of the voice, even though the accent is different, sounds the same as Bessie. Is that correct?
Mm. No, Bessie was from the deep south of America.
I understand that. I'm just saying there's a similarity in the voice, although Bessie had a real accent. I'm trying to understand the voice box, how that works.
Ah, okay. So when it's formed from ectoplasm, the spirit, in spirit, presses their face into it, and they send their thoughts into it. So it's kind of a thought transmitter, and then the transmission goes down to the voice box, like a human voice box, and the sound is produced there. So there can
sense.
Be some, And what you heard there, that very first voice that you heard talking about the seance, that was Leslie Flynn. And Leslie and Mickey have quite a rapport. And you heard Leslie fidgeting about and Mickey referring to him fidgeting. Leslie was awake during the seance. Now, when we tend to think of mediums and physical mediumship, we tend to think of them sitting in a cabinet or at least being unconscious. But Leslie had got to such a level that he actually joined in. And there is a recording when there are 8 or 9 different voices from spirit all speaking at the same time and Leslie's joining in. So it's quite something.
Ah, it sounds it. Well, thank you for clarifying that for me. Let's see if we can do 2 readings. Is that reasonable?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
All right. I'm going to go first to Sharon, and then I will go to an area code. So, Sharon, hang on. I'm bringing you live.
Oh,
there you are.
Thank you.
Hi there.
Well, how exciting. What an exciting show. And thank you. Thank you. I'm so privileged to be speaking. Thank you, David, for bringing Leo on. Thank you both.
Sure.
Bless you.
Leo?
What have you thought of the voices? I know the accents are slightly odd and that, but could you get the gist of them? What did you think of them?
It makes me even more wonder about the afterlife.
Yeah.
It transported me back earlier years when I first started the spiritual journey that I'm on now in the middle 80s. And I had an experience. We met at a metaphysical church every Friday. At a certain time and at a metaphysical church, and there's a group of us, and it was titled Ascended Masters.
Yes.
And the meditation there, I just love group meditation. That was my first experience with group meditation. I just adored it. And I had this incredible experience there where I could see things. It was my first awareness of being able to see things on the wall and see figures. I saw figures when I closed my eyes and went into deep meditation. Some of them looked like they were dressed in Pope clothing, you know, with the hats, all the fancy, different fashion that they were wearing. So listening to these voices. Oh, and then I had an intense feeling at a couple of different times, but back then at that meeting every Friday, I had this incredible feeling of a deep, overwhelming, and words will not really articulate what I felt, a deep, overwhelming, all-enveloping sense of love, well-being, and peace. And so listening to these voices right now on David's show, and you brought them to us, the listening audience, just transported me back to that time, and I'm listening to what they're saying, the voices that David was playing for us, and you know, just a lot of thoughts were coming through as for me as I was listening to them, and it's a wonderment about the afterlife for me.
Some of the voices explain more about, you know, the hospitals, the homes, how they met loved ones, and sometimes, you know, illnesses like cancer and that take a great toll on the spirit body from the point of view of it affects the mind so much, and we kind of retain the illness. And so although the effects can disappear quite quickly when we're in spirit, we do sometimes go to hospitals or rest homes and are helped to recover. And it's, in a sense, it's very normal. You know, there are houses of different types and there are cities, not cities as we would know them, but cities. And so there is a lot there that's familiar. But the feeling of energy and of love, etc., is overwhelming. Just as I'm talking to you, there is a lady with blonde hair. It stands quite high up on the head. There is a parting almost centre. The hair, I think she sprayed a lot of lacquer on it, because as I'm touching it, it's kind of moving. It's a little bit like a helmet, and I don't mean to be unkind to her, but she put a lot of lacquer on, you know, when it's really stiff.
Yeah.
And this lady's got that. She's smiling as I'm saying this, because she's obviously... I don't think she was too aware she's appeared like that, but she's come through and that's her memory. And she's a lovely, lovely lady. She wants to mention to you to take care of your knee and your ankle. I think it's a right knee and a left ankle, but I'm not sure. And she's wanting to mention that. There's a lot of love with this lady. She, like yourself, she's very jolly. I'm asking her dozens of questions as I'm speaking to you, and she's not answering many of them, but there's just a sense of love and happiness with her. Would you recognize this lady?
You know, when I hang up the phone, it'll come to me, I'm sure. Right now I'm just so engulfed in the feeling and wonderment of it all. So you know, and a lot of my relatives, when we become older, and certainly they themselves, those that have passed on, I'm sure, their different colored hair would turn white. You know, so it could be that. It could be any number of things. I am thinking of one person, but we weren't close at all.
This is more straw colored. She has got wonderful blue eyes. They really sparkle. You know, you can see a real sense of fun there. I'll just tell you what she's got to say. She's really pleased how you're getting on. She said you haven't quite gone up a gear, but you have changed mode. Your approach to life has altered. It's always been encompassing, but she says it's altered now. You are encompassing more. There seem to be more people coming to your, into your sphere that you can help as well. Would that make sense to you?
Yeah. And trying to make sense of how to help them without giving away my whole, you know,
Well, do you know, she says what you're doing is enough. If they've been polite enough not to mention how you're helping them or how you're working, the exact words, she says it doesn't mean they don't understand. So I feel that you're getting through to them on levels that you may not be aware, but they certainly understand there's something spiritual going on. And she wants to thank you for that. Would you understand her showing me a little dark-haired boy who seems to be, I'm so bad with ages, he seems to be about 7, 8, maybe 9. He's wearing kind of long shorts. They're just below the knee. Now, I've asked him, you know, is this a modern kind of picture, because it looks old, and she says it is. So there's a young boy that you've been helping, she says specifically. Would that make sense to you?
Maybe someone on the other side, or maybe I'm not clicking in immediately. You know, sometimes these things come when I hang up the phone.
Yeah, that's okay. I do think, because of the clothing, I do think it is somebody on the other side. So I know that you've had some connection there. You seem to be working more with spirit in that sense than you had been previously. But she wants to commend you for the things that you've done. She actually says your kindness itself. Now, she means this in a lovely way. It's a slightly odd way of saying it, but she said, you know, if it was your last cup of coffee, you'd give it away, which is a nice little sentiment. But
not before taking 13 sips.
Absolutely.
I love
absolutely.
My coffee.
Oh, bless. I think that's why she's used that particular, thing.
But you're right. No, you're right. I can see myself doing that. I call the police on people that are standing on the street corner and they're completely naked, and I'll tell them, I don't want them arrested. I just want you to take care of them, you know.
Oh,
and,
bless.
That kind of thing, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
And I felt like a Cape Crusader.
Oh, bless you. So I think this is really is what she means by, you know, you've stepped up a gear. So she does send lots of love from spirit. What you do is greatly appreciated. Have you got a question you'd like to ask?
I do, and thank you for asking me. Yes, my house is for sale, and the close of escrow date, the close of the contract, close of escrow date, where I'm supposed to hand over the keys to the buyer, is next week. But they've been making sounds like one time they're not buying it, the next day they are. I've talked to their agent, and I said, you have got to let me know if they're going to walk away from this deal. And she promised she would, and so far, right now, they are going to buy it. I mean, there's a small penalty for them if they do walk away, but
it's more inconvenient. Yeah, I see it going through. I don't quite know what they're up to, but I do feel they're kind of angling to maybe get a little extra off. I think that's what's behind it. This is what she's saying.
It ain't going to happen. I've made it very clear. And you're right. It's an investment for them. So they don't, And then I know the agent has said that they're kind of strapped. But anyway, it is what it is. So, you know,
they're not as strapped as they make out, is what this lady says. So they're playing little games. They're just trying to get a little edge. What's actually happening is, that they have bought several houses. They're kind of sharpening their skills for, you know, the next buy and the buy after that. But just stick to your guns.
We're
coming straight up for the end of the show. So I'll let you go. But take my love
and
this lovely lady. God bless you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless you, David. Thank you.
Thank you.
My love to both.
And to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon, and thank you, Leo, for a wonderful show. Unfortunately, we've come to the end of the hour, and for those of you who are online, I encourage you to check out Leo's website and try to line up a reading that way. It is on the World Wide Web. It's leo-bonomo.com, and you can get that off your computer. And Leo will be back on October 1st. So thank you all. I wish you all a good afternoon and a good evening, and God bless. Thank you, Leo.
Bless you, David, and thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Well, you take good care.
And you. God bless.
Thank you.